Talking Grit, a Detroit Lions podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to Talking Grit. We are brought to you by Monroe County Reporters, Monroe's top news source for police, fire, and community events. Follow them on Facebook, and for 99 cents a month, you can become a subscriber and get news even faster. I'm Jason Herwood, and with me is Jacob Litton. We are here in our very first episode. We're both excited. We can't wait for you to get to know us a little bit and understand how we became Lions fans or why we're Lions fans or what kind of Lions fans we are. So I'm going to have you start, Jacob, and why don't you get us going here.
So thinking about when I first became a Lions fan, it's hard to imagine, hard to picture when I wasn't a Lions fan, because I think pretty much when I started being a football fan is when I started becoming more conscious of what the Lions were doing. So I started thinking about who was the quarterback when I first really started paying attention. And that was actually Joey Harrington. Those were tougher times to say that's when I started really remembering and started paying attention what was going on. But if you remember, Joey Harrington was on the cover of the college football game. High draft pick, high hopes. I was all in and was crushed for a little while, but I'm still here. Things are looking up. That's been 20 years ago. Who was the quarterback when you first became a fan?
So I had the three-headed monster, and this is going to be maybe a little bit before your time. It's going to show my age, but it was Andre Ware, Eric Kramer, and Rodney Peete. It was like Rodney they drafted Peete. Andre Ware in 1990. He was a run-and-shoot quarterback. He had like ungodly numbers at Houston, but he never worked out. Rodney Peete was like a fifth or sixth round pick, and Eric Kramer, he was not drafted at all. And he was like a replacement player, I think, and started in the late 80s. So you have a first round pick just getting beat out by replacement players. And then after that three-headed monster moved into the Scott Mitchell era, I have mixed feelings about the Scott Mitchell era because he made some boneheaded plays, but he did lead like an awesome offense. I think it was 95. They had a really good offense. Herman Moore, Brett Perriman were just leading the league in receptions. They had Barry in the backfield, which makes for an exciting time. I love the Lions, and being a fan the last year and a half has been a great joy. It's been,
right,
to say the least, it's been amazing.
Finally, long overdue.
Oh, and I can't even imagine from the people that were fans from the 60s and 70s. I didn't start becoming a fan until the 90s. I can't imagine last year for those people that were fans for even longer, because for me, it was amazing. So I can't imagine what it felt like for them. That's why you saw the people crying at Ford Field and stuff like that. It was that
emotional.
You
didn't cry? You weren't there?
I did cry, yeah. And I hugged the stranger next to me when we beat the Rams. That was just an emotional release for everybody at that stadium. That game will be something that I will remember for the rest of my life. I think I told you about this earlier. I took my son, and he looked at me after that game, this is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. And that's mostly what triggered my tears.
Right. No, it's a good moment. And that was the truth.
Yeah, it was. And you think about 10, 15, 20, 30 years, he's going to mention that. And I feel like so blessed that we were there and got to experience him. So blessed that the Lions played well. And just, it was just awesome for me, and I'm just one person in the stadium. There's a lot of stories like that in the stadium, and people that didn't go to the stadium that were at home watching with their families.
Yeah. Right. A lot of love going around everywhere in Michigan and Detroit.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Finally, a good time to be a Lions fan.
It didn't make all the losing like worth it per se, but all that built up and made that moment amazing. That's what I can say about that. It will never make it so that the losing was worth it, but it certainly made it all the more enjoyable at that point.
Right. You forget a little bit just when it got really good there. For how bad it's been, it got really good right there.
It was unforgettable. I was blessed to be there for that playoff game. That's for sure. Since this is our first episode, what are you hoping the listeners get out of this? What are you doing the podcast for? What's your thoughts on that?
We work together. As listeners are going to find out, we work together. A lot of this is just talk that goes on at work. I've worked with mostly women for 10 years before you came along. Finally get to talk sports all day. We're driving them crazy. Let's make a podcast. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to share our knowledge, have fun doing it. What about you? What was the driving force behind trying to make the podcast?
Mostly to make you look like a fool.
You're pretty high for yourself. I'm not sure. You got attainable goals. Jason's also quite a bit older than me. You'll learn that really soon, too. He became a Lions fan when I was learning how to use glue sticks in kindergarten.
I'm going to let you get one in on me every once in a while, but that's okay. I have a lot more experience than you, and I know more Lions stuff than you. For the podcast, just like you said, we're driving people at work crazy talking about the Lions, but I think that you and I have a lot of insights that are fun to share. I just thought, let's just try this for fun and see where this goes and see if anybody else enjoys listening to you sound like an idiot. But if anybody else listens or thinks like we do, or just to create a community, that's what this Lions Nation is about to me, just us going through it together. I think just Detroit in general with their sports, just it's something that unites us all, and the world needs something like that right now. It's fun that we can all get behind something. And so positive right now that Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, Jared Goff, all the other players have just helped build something that we can be proud of. That's fun to be able to talk about that stuff. It's fun to joke around with you. As much as I want to say you sound like an idiot, you're a very smart person. And
appreciate that compliment. You all heard it. He tries to crack on me, but doesn't work most of the time for him.
You know what? It's all good, Jacob, because I'm the one that holds the edit button to this podcast. You haven't figured out how to edit yet, so I can do whatever I want with this AI voice cloning technology.
Okay, we'll see.
So let's go back to our Lions fandom. Thought it'd be fun to share our all-time favorite Lions player. For the purpose of this, we're going to exclude Barry Sanders just because it might be a little bit boring if we both just said Barry Sanders, because he's probably 90% of Lions fans, at least in my age group, that would say it would be Barry Sanders.
I think most Lions fans, though, even new Lions fans, you like the Lions, you look up the Lions, you see the history of the Lions, Barry Sanders is front and center.
Yeah.
Even though his highlights were back in the 90s and everything, you're watching kids now, watching those highlights, seeing how great that he was. He's at the top of everybody's list when you talk about all-time Lions.
Yeah, and he's still very involved with the team. He took a period off after he left the team and retired early, but he's at every event. He's at the stadium pretty much every game. I see him. They bring him out. The crowd still goes crazy, still chants Barry. He deserves all that. I can't explain to you how it was to watch every game with Barry, because you knew he was going to do something amazing. You see the clips on YouTube. I know you've seen all the highlights. I know you looked this up. I know you're knowledgeable about this, but just when you're watching a live game and you just know he's going to get 1 yard here, he's going to get -2 here, he's going to get -3, then all of a sudden he busts out a 40-yarder, a 50-yarder, and he made three people look stupid while he ran it. It was really fun to watch the Lions at that point. It's a different fun now because we're winning and we got players like Jahmyr Gibbs that can do amazing things. But Barry was just, he was an unreal cat. He just did things that no one else can do. And, you know, you could watch a game and you just know, oh my God, he just did what? You couldn't believe it. Have you ever seen like a game that he played in, like from start to finish or anything like that?
No, nope. And you can tell when you watch the highlights, it's just, he's in a league of his own out there. Just don't look like they have a chance. He just looks faster, quicker. His instincts just look better than everybody else that's on the field. And that's probably where it's changed, is that now you got 11 defenders out there that are all at the top of their game. Different breed of athletes nowadays. But Barry looks like he could have hung.
So who is your all-time favorite Lion besides Barry?
This is probably, I don't think we're going to have the same all-time favorite Lion either, because you're ancient and, you know, mine's going to be kind of Jason's favorite Lion's Doak Walker.
Doak Walker. Oh, man, I'm not quite that old, but
I can't think of any older ones. Doak Walker, Bobby Lane. I just did that with JJ earlier. I was talking about all-time Lions. People I never heard of. Or Doak Walker has an award named after him.
He does. The Lions have had their fair share of running backs.
Oh, he was a running back, so thank you. That's new information from the old head over here.
There was Barry Sanders and Billy Sims. You probably never saw a Billy Sims run either, I'm sure.
What year was that?
He was in the early 80s. He was actually wore number 20. He was wore 20 before Barry. And he made some amazing runs, but he blew his knee out and yeah, his career ended after 3 years or 2 or 3 years. He had some amazing runs. You could look him up. He was a little more meaner runner than Barry, but he was really fast and he was a good running back too.
Nice. All right, so all-time favorite Lion, I'm going with Calvin Johnson, Megatron. You know, that was, I guess, at the height of when I was a Lions fan. I think we drafted him when I was still in high school. I might have been middle school when we drafted Calvin Johnson. So that was a big deal. All the hype, he lived up to the hype instantly, right away. I actually got to go to Lions games. The first couple games I went to, he was there. He was the star. You talk about all-time great receiver, which is good for the Lions, too. We've got Barry Sanders. You talk about all-time great running backs. And then you talk about all-time great receivers. Now we've got Calvin Johnson. It's a shame his career didn't last very long, which is similar to Barry as well.
Yep.
But he holds the all-time receiving yard record, yards in a season. He caught that ball against the Bears, despite what the referees say. And just countless moments of him just kind of what I said before. He looked like he was better than everyone else on the field. You throw the ball up to Megatron. He's got three defenders on him. Still comes down with it.
I remember a graphic from the Monday Night Football game against the Bears where they showed Calvin Johnson's catch radius, and it was essentially like a two-car garage. It was an amazing graphic. He was just on a level all on his own. He had amazing speed. He could jump. He was just bigger than anybody else.
Huge and athletic. Crazy.
Gonna have a tough time jamming him at the line just because he's bigger than you. The only one that I could say that's as athletic or just that kind of reminds me of just a body kind of thing is a DK Metcalf. Megatron's catch radius is way better, and I don't think DK Metcalf's is anywhere close to the receiver that Calvin Johnson was. But as far as, you know,
what he looks
like, he had
like
that build and just like the speed and stuff like that, you know.
I mean, they're essentially the same size.
Yeah, are they about the same height?
DK's 6'4", 235. Calvin's 6'5", 237. So, yep. I mean, that's really...
We're about the same.
That Calvin was faster than DK. Calvin ran a 4.35. I don't know what DK ran, but I know he's faster than DK Metcalf. Yeah. Ability. Huge guy that can also run away from you down the field. Well, there aren't 50-50 balls. It's 80-20.
Stafford learned that early on. If I'm in trouble, just throw it up.
When yeah, right.
Give my guy a chance and get you in trouble, and it certainly did sometimes, but more often than not, Calvin's coming down with that ball, and it was an amazing player, and it's a shame that we couldn't go anywhere with him as far as playoffs, and it's a shame he had to leave early. But just like Barry, they might have not left on the greatest terms, but they're both fully back and they're really involved with the franchise. So
yes, that's been great to see.
It's another thing that this current regime has done. They've gotten these players back, and I don't think it's just a winning. I think it's a respect thing. I think it's treating people like people and doing the right thing.
Right. Shouts out to Sheila, man.
That's going to lead into my all-time favorite Lions player, because I think, honestly, he, with Sheila, kicked this off. And mine's Chris Spielman. So linebacker for the Lions. He's drafted in 88. So mine isn't just necessarily based on his play with the Lions, although I believe he's the all-time leader in tackles with the Lions. He made 4 Pro Bowl appearances with the Lions. He was an amazing linebacker. I hate to say that he went to Ohio State. Everyone's got their faults. He was just an amazing hard-nosed player. You talk about grit. He fit it before that was the tagline of the Lions. And after that, he went on and did some broadcasting. And so he was one of the lead broadcasters for Fox Sports for a little bit. Loved listening to him. I thought he was very knowledgeable. And then he left, and now he's part of the Lions leadership team. And he's a special assistant. It was the first hire that Sheila made after the Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn firing. They got Chris in here. I think Chris was the reason why they end up going with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. I think all that, coupled with his amazing play, I just appreciate the guy so much, and I'm so glad that he's back with the Lions doing his thing and he's helping us out. He was one of those linebackers, had those huge shoulder pads in the 90s. It's just a funny image for me compared to the players now, just how intimidating.
A different game.
Yeah, can you imagine if a player will come with those pads on now, just like how different he would look, how weird he would look out there compared to everybody else. You don't have too much experience with Chris. I'm sure you know who he is as far as his playing.
I never got to see him play. I know who he is just because of the executive things he's been doing. He came and talked to my, I believe it was elementary school. Like,
oh, really?
He came to the school and actually talked after he retired. And I think we all got, like, a picture to take home, too. It was cool.
Oh, that's cool. Do you remember what the, was the talk about anything specific, or what was
I
it?
I don't remember. Jason, okay. I was probably 5 years old, remember?
I could see a theme now. I'm not that old, okay?
Well, he's your favorite Lion, and I never saw him play, so. It was a good pick, though. I mean, solid.
It's a great pick. I said you couldn't pick Barry, so of course you picked Kelvin. Let's quickly move on. Instead of all-time favorite Lions player, how about we do the current Lions favorite player?
Are you going to make fun of me for picking a popular person? Is that how this is going to go?
Yeah. Yes, I want you to pick Dan Skipper, and if you don't pick Dan Skipper, there's something wrong with you. Go ahead.
I think you already know who I'm going to say, but I have to say it. I went back and forth on this, but I've got to go Hutch.
Okay.
The Michigan connection before that and just the timing of when he came and when things turned around. You know, they had Dan Campbell's first year as he took over the team. Didn't go so well, which was expected. We're trying to change things around, switch things up. You need some sort of spark, some sort of energy on the defense, someone to define the team, and the Jaguars make a mistake and pass him up, and then Hutchinson falls right in our lap. Perfect example of grit, perfect person to be on the Lions. And that's when things turned around. I think we went 3-13. We got the second pick, we draft Hutch, and then we're one game out of the playoffs, which obviously is more than just him. I connect him with as things were turning around. He's on the squad. We're fired up. We're ready to go. We take out Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay to finish off the season. Then you go into last year, his second year in the league. He's getting double-digit sacks. He's had multiple picks, multiple forced fumbles. Just a huge player on the defense, and it's only been a year or two. It's only going up from here.
Hutch is an awesome pick. I'm not going to make fun of you for that. Hutch is everything you want a player to be. He works hard. He's from the area. He above most of these players, because other than DPJ, most of these players are not from Detroit. They may understand that where this team came from, and they might have some idea, but Hutch lived it. He was a Lions fan growing up.
Yes.
He knows what this means to everybody in Michigan, what this means to people in Detroit. He embodies everything you want in a player. He's going to get paid next year. He's going to deserve every bit of it, and
right.
It's going to be awesome because there's no way they're letting him out of the building.
No.
Just not going to happen. Speaking of not letting someone out of the building, my current favorite player is someone that just signed an extension. It's going to be with us for a while. That's Penei Sewell. Much like you're saying, bring in Hutch, and you picture that with the turnaround. Penei is the first Lions draft pick of Brad Holmes.
Yeah, he was the first.
How many teams can you say your favorite current player is an offensive lineman? Penei Sewell's not just any offensive lineman. He's probably the best tackle in the league or top two or three, but he all pro this year, first team all pro. He is everything you want a player. He works hard. He's amazing at what he does. Not only is he just a mauler, he's athletic. He can get out. He could pull. He can get to the second
level. Hey, he can catch.
Yeah, and he can catch.
Huge conversion, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Dan Campbell said that he could have played tight end, and I 100% believe that. He's just an athletic guy. Beyond just his raw athletic ability and the way he plays, his pregame speeches are amazing. I love just everything he stands for. He is just a team guy, too. But you don't hear me or you don't hear I. You hear, you know, he's part of that offensive line. He speaks grit, too. It was hard to pick a current favorite player because there are so many guys just like the two that we just described. How could Amon-Ra not make our favorite list? He's definitely an amazing player. He works harder than anybody, and he just does his job. And
for Amon, late pick. The other top picks, they came out, they are what they're supposed to be. It's a mid-round pick. A lot of people counted him out, and we just proved everybody wrong.
Yeah.
One of the top receivers in the league.
Yep.
And also paid, rightfully so.
The timing of the pay is awesome, too, because there's other people about to get paid. And I think Brad Holmes looked into that and said, let's get our guy taken care of. Let's give him his contract and then lock him down and keep him happy. So I'm happy that he's on a team. But there's a lot of other guys. Aleem McNeil's an awesome player. Third-round draft pick. it came after Levi, and I'm glad we doubled up on that position. And that's why you double up on a position, because not everybody's going to work out. But Aleem certainly worked out greatly for a third-round pick. And we haven't even talked about our quarterback yet, Jared Goff. I think he represents Detroit very well.
What perfect timing that was for Goff and for the Lions.
How many guys do you think get paid top dollar like he did with the Rams? Basically is discarded. He's counted out by pretty much, well, definitely by the Rams and by most people in the league. He's counted out, and now he's the number two paid quarterback in the NFL right now based on average per year or whatever. You're going to have Patrick Mahomes that's going to be on the near the top. You're going to have Joe Burrows. You know, no one's ever counted them out, whereas Jared Goff was just left for dead, essentially.
He was kind of a, you know, we'll throw in Goff in the Stafford trade. Stafford was the prize. Goff was just kind of the afterthought. He was going to be the layover until we drafted our quarterback or got our guy.
But I think that was the thought, and that's the media talking point at that point. But I honestly, I think Brad Holmes just knew that they were going to take him. They took on what was a bad contract for the Rams, or at least what the Rams saw was a bad contract. From all accounts of how it went down, we got an extra first-round pick out of that, which turned into Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta because of the trade. Stafford got them the Super Bowl, so you can't say the Rams lost that trade.
It worked both ways. One of the few times the trade ended up working in the favor of both teams.
I think if Stafford doesn't get that Super Bowl, they don't get that Super Bowl, then it's a blowout for the Lions.
Yeah, no. Then they lose. I mean, that's what they did. They sold to get that championship, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And as a Lions fan, I could totally understand that. But I think Brad Holmes is on a different track. I think he's looking for long-term success. And he took advantage of what they thought of Jared Goff, and we're reaping the benefits now. Stafford could still sling it, no doubt, but I'd much rather have Jared Goff right now than Stafford.
Yeah.
Just some of it's age, some of it's just wear on the body. Jared Goff's not perfect, but Stafford just sometimes tried to take on too much. And maybe that was just his time with the Lions, just because that's what he felt he had to do.
Yeah, trying to create something out of nothing.
Yeah, Jared Goff knows what he is. He knows how to get the best out of his players, and he does it, you know, and I appreciate him.
He's doing what we asked of him.
Yeah,
What about Frank Ragnow? That was somebody else that I was talking about, too, and Frank got to see some bad times before things turned around.
Yeah, well, Tim and Taylor both saw some bad times. They had to go through it, and that's why the emotion wears on both their face. But when you talk about Frank, guy that just run through a wall for you, and he doesn't want to let his teammates down. That's the bottom line with Frank. He's got, from all accounts, a nasty toe injury. You wouldn't know by his play, especially those blocks on Vita Vea down in, you know, in that Buccaneers game. I still remember that. He just cleared
hurt his toe and then still made the Pro Bowl and then All Pro the next season when it was still lingering. That's grit.
That's what I'm talking about. The Lions moved on from people that didn't personify grit. They've held on to players or re-signed, or in the case of Jalen Reeves-Maven or Graham Glasgow, they've required former Lions players that fit that criteria. I could see it as a philosophy. They are very talented players. They might not be the most talented at their position, but they're going to fight through injury. They're going to play their butt off for their teammates, and they're going to do what it takes to win. And they're going to put the time in. They're going to practice. They're going to do their thing. And I think when you have a team philosophy like that and you have a team full of those players, you could go a long way. And I think we've seen it.
We showed that last year. We're hoping that it goes a little bit further this year.
Yeah, at least one more game, right? That would be awesome. Speaking of that, what's your thoughts on this upcoming season?
The over-under is at 10.5. So if you were betting right now, not as a fan, but if you were just going to be placing that bet as a bettor, would you say you think the Lions are above or below 10.5?
I think they're definitely above. They're built to win a lot of different ways. When you want to play the matchup game or whatever like that, the Lions are set for that. I also think that they've taken the proper steps to shore up that secondary that was just giving up yardage left and right, especially towards the end of the year.
One of the few problem areas was just having consistent secondary play, and we addressed that. So
Yeah, one of our starters last year is going to be fifth or sixth cornerback this year. If that tells you what we've done to upgrade that room. And just like the first year, Brad Holmes doubled down on cornerback, first two picks. I don't think that was necessarily the plan going in. It just fell in his hands that way. I think he was pretty ecstatic with those picks.
You just know their draft board is people, like we just talked about, people that are good teammates that are going to put it all on the line for the team, not selfish players. And we got some good guys again.
Yeah.
They're killing the draft every year. And time will tell exactly how good we did with this one. For not having as high of picks or as many picks to work with, I still feel great about it.
Just grabbing Terrion Arnold in the first round, unbelievable.
Yeah, could not have predicted that.
No, texting back and forth, and you and I that night, and the trade up. And
which one of us said we wanted Terrion? I should remind
you
the viewers.
Did.
Who,
and
who
no,
said you wanted
I
again?
I liked Cooper DeJean, but I was...
Oh, that's right. Didn't he go in the second mid?
He did, and he went to the Eagles, who had another good drafting team, so I know he's going to end up being good.
Oh, well, time will tell.
It will tell. I am very happy with Terrion Arnold.
I wanted Dan. I was all about it, and I was adding him.
Terrion Arnold said about his mother, if we line up against you together, I'm going to push you into the dirt. And you know this.
No.
Yeah.
Make sure you wear both of your knee braces.
Both my knee braces. I got my back brace. I'll wear my earmuffs in case it's a little chilly outside, too.
Get your helmet on tight. I'm surprised you could stay up to watch the whole draft. You didn't fall asleep?
No, my mom let me stay up. I think that's a pretty good first episode. I don't know what you feel about it, but I'm happy with it. Hopefully the listeners enjoy it. Anything you want to say before we take off here?
No, just that was good. Just a little taste of what's to come, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sounded better than anything I've ever heard on the internet. I don't know why you wouldn't like it, but...
You don't listen to very many positive things on the internet, Jason.
My Facebook feed is just all stuff that's geared towards me, and I don't want to see anything I don't want to see, so...
Yep. Yeah. What other social media do you have, Jason? Just Facebook?
I think my MySpace might be still active.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Oh, good.
Thank
you. No.
You're one of the people keeping MySpace's servers alive.
Are they still up? Is that still...
I made a MySpace in, like, sixth grade.
Yeah. In sixth grade, huh? Yeah.
You probably bought stock in MySpace, didn't you?
No, but I do remember it. And, yeah, it was very popular for a little bit. And Facebook took over and it ruled our lives.
Well.
But I'm going to let you sleep on this tonight. You could think of some more digs you want to get me with. I don't want to, you know, waste them all in the first episode. It's a good thing I got the edit button, like I said. So anyways, we want to thank everyone for listening. I hope you have a good day and go Lions.